Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the program. My name is Simon Barrett, and this week, joining me on the program, I have a great couple of panelists. Fresh from the George Zimmerman trial in Florida, we have blogger and reporter Dave Nackel. Dave, welcome.
Well, thank you, Simon, and I'm glad to be here.
And I'll bet your bottom is thanking you for not having to spend any more time sitting on those boring wooden benches.
Well, I got a cushion early into it, and I actually called it my tushin. And one of the deputies said that you should print one name of the defense and one name on the on one side, and then print the prosecution on the other side. And then when you go into the courtroom, when the jury or verdict is read, sit on the side that you think will win. But I never did do that. So.
Good one. And from the very center of the known universe, which is Youngstown, Ohio, we have author, activist, and barkeep, Sam Murphy. Sam, welcome to the program.
Simon, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. This is going to be a hell of a show, I think, considering what happened last night.
Right. I view this program a bit like a boxing match, right? You got to have a warm-up event. So before we get to the main event of today, which is the Zimmerman trial, I just want to mention another trial that just never seems to go away. The one and only Casey Anthony. There was a wonderful article that Radar Online published earlier this week. George and Cindy were spotted, and it's rumored that it's at it was at Cindy's mother's house, hosting a yard sale and selling Kaylee Anthony's toys, and also some of Casey's clothes. Sam, did you hear about this?
No, because I've been paying attention to probably the only person I know who knows all this stuff. In regard to that, as you said, it's the case that just won't go away. But I didn't. I've been following the Zimmerman trial, probably like most of America, and so a lot of things that we probably should be paying attention to slipped under the radar, or Zimmerman was a great smokescreen too. But it doesn't surprise me. I think they'll do anything to make money and to help each other out and on their thing, because the one good thing that you predicted, Simon, after this happened is unless she becomes a really good pole dancer, she ain't going to make much money anywhere else.
Right. Dave, I know that you've been completely buried with the Zimmerman case, but I'm sure you heard the yard sale story.
Yes, it was actually my best friend who called me. We to discuss the Zimmerman case and amongst other things as friends, and then he brought that up, and that it was kind of like kind of a trashy thing to do. Apparently, my take on it is that I think what happened was that they got sick and tired of the Hope Spring Drive location. I know that they turned Kaylee's bedroom into a shrine, and I don't blame them for moving away from there. Cindy's mother passed away, and she owned a place in Mount Dora, which is northwest of Orlando. It's a nice town. And Cindy's father is up there in a nursing home or some kind of a facility. So it would be much closer to him. And apparently they decided to unload all this stuff, Casey's clothing, certainly Kaylee's toys and stuff. And then I mentioned it to some of the news people, you know, I work with at the trial. And one of them told me that he also heard that George and Cindy got into an argument over a doll. I think it was a doll, some item of Kaylee's that was that they were selling. And George had put a $10 price tag on it, and Cindy wanted more, and she fought in front of people. The two of them argued like they the way they were, in, you know, the whole time. And George finally turned around and said, you know, that for the, on this $10 item. Well, we only paid $8 for it brand new. So it's as if, you know, most people sell their junk for less than what they paid for it. But, you know, it kind of like spits at you that Cindy's out to make money on her dead granddaughter. I don't know how much she made, but I think some of that stuff would be worth money one day.
Right. And Sam, when I first heard the story, my comment was, hell, they should have put it on eBay.
Yeah.
Oh, God, on eBay, do you think it would sell for anything?
Oh, yeah. I
think the problem with eBay. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Well, I was just going to say there's probably no way to verify it unless it had Cindy's signature on it or George's. I mean, and I don't think they sell it under their own name. But, you know, if anybody else came along to sell those items, there would be no way to verify that it's real.
Right. I really don't want to spend a lot of time on the Casey Anthony story, but there's just two other very quick items to mention. Casey herself apparently has managed to rustle up $25,000 to keep possession to the rights of her life story. This is part of the bankruptcy deal. It sounds crazy. This is stupidity. What's going on? Any clue?
Money. Desperation. You know, I mean, all that sort of stuff. Dave, you said it earlier. I guess I'll repeat it because you don't want to say it. What do you expect from white trash? I think that's what it is. I think, you know, the whole thing is, that's what it is. It's like a really bad movie, for a made-for-TV movie in the 70s, white trash. That's what you got to call this stuff. And that's it. And I wish it would go away. She, as you said, Simon, many times when this case was the case, she's going to end up being broke. The worst thing that could have happened to her was, actually, now she probably can't even afford food. At least in jail, she would have had free room and board. She has nothing. She said no one's going to hire her. She's a pariah when she goes out, rightfully so. And she can't even sell her. Who would ever buy her rights? Story, of course, in today's media, obsessed celebrity world and this and that, someone would have paid for a right. CNN, with what they've turned into, definitely would have given her money to appear on this show, but no one is. And I guess that's a good thing that's come out of this, is that everyone has brushed her aside, and she's been kicked to the dustbin of history, blessedly.
Right. Dave, would you be in broad agreement with Sam's comment?
Yeah, one of the few times that we probably would be, but yeah, I got to agree with them. I mean, that's they're trashy people, I think Casey, I don't know. I just don't understand those people. I don't even know if I want to cover any of the civil suits against them. I'm so fed up with that crowd. I guess it's called being burned out over them. But, you know, I do what I do, and maybe I will cover them if there's enough interest in it.
Right, and last item. I swear I will drop the subject of Casey after this. Apparently, last week, the civil lawsuit brought by Texas EquiSearch got thrown out. I don't know a lot of the details, other than the fact that Casey's lawyer basically made a comment along the lines of, well, you know, rightfully so that it be thrown out of court. I mean, Tim Miller should have known better. He should have realized Casey was a liar. I rather liked it. Sam, did you hear that one?
No, but it's a good one. I would have said it.
Right. Okay. Enough of Casey. She's had her 15 minutes of glory. Let's move on to the main event. The George Zimmerman trial has reached a conclusion. No doubt HLN are scrambling today to figure out what the hell they're going to broadcast tomorrow. You know, maybe a Nancy Grace marathon. Personally, I found little surprise in the not guilty verdict. I watched much of it. Dave, you got a sore bottom from sitting in the courtroom. Were you very much surprised by the verdict?
Not at all. I didn't feel that the state proved their case anyway. And we had discussed that on last week's show for those that didn't listen or whatever. And it was just not, this has got to be something that you got to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. And the state did not prove anything. So, no, it didn't surprise me one bit.
How about you, Sam? I mean, you know, I use you as the weather vane, shall we say, you know, because... You know, you do run a bar and restaurant, so you you know, hear what your patrons have to say. did it come to you as a surprise?
No, as Dave said, I echo his comment. I think we all predicted this was going to happen for many different reasons, but we all came to the same conclusion. Most of my patrons from last night. And then in this morning, I was back in, and those that watched it and those that really cared were shocked there was no rioting. They were expecting major riots, and I guess except for something in Oakland, and people in Oakland riot if the sun doesn't set when it's supposed to set at the right time. It was pretty much peaceful. But I think people are starting to get what I saw is, okay, he was innocent. They believe that. I tell you, everybody, including myself, was just – flabbergasted at was the attorney general, the female, I can't remember her name, who got out and gave a press conference last night. And that seemed what everybody was talking about was, who is she? And, you know, please put her back, you know, please put her back in the closet where she belongs. that seemed to be, that was a big comment that some people were saying. And, yeah, I think other people, like today, I noticed this morning, about 10 o'clock when I was up at the bar, and there was about a dozen people up there. And it was on all the news. It's still on all the news. It's like the media is fanning the flames for something to happen. And I think they are so outraged that there's no riot or there's no craziness going on. They don't know what to do. And that's, I think, goes hand in hand with what a lot of people said, is that this was an almost media-driven persecution of Zimmerman.
Absolutely.
They had a hand in it. Major media, not local, major media. And when you watch CNN lately, I don't know what they turned into. I mean, it's not the same station it was a year ago.
Okay. And Sam, hold the thought. I'm going to go out to the phone lines. Hoo-hoo! Be ready. Okay, we have a caller from area code 276. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us? Hello? I guess 276 doesn't really want to talk to us. So, goodbye. Have a nice day. Sam, you brought up a really, really, salient point. Dave, do you think this case was grossly overcovered by the media?
Well, I've given that some thought, and Mark O'Mara touched on that last night at his press conference post the verdict, that the media did kind of spur things on. But you know something, no matter what, the media can try and sell something all it wants. Why is 60 Minutes always a top-rated show? Why is NCIS always a top-rated show? They, you know, without ratings, without an audience, you got nothing. So whatever the media produces, if you've got an audience, you've got something that's going to keep going. I mean, even Sam, you know, or me when I was in the restaurant business, if I put out a schlock food item, you know, I would get a bad name. If you water down your booze, you know, in your bar, you'd get a bad name. So no matter what anyone says, the bottom line is still that people could turn against the media if they didn't want, if they didn't have this hunger, this burning desire to peek from outside, or, you know, turn the curtains over a little bit, push them over and look and see what's going on out their door. And in today's day and age, it's so easy to do on the internet, on cable. You know what's going on in the world 5 minutes after it happens. In Egypt, you know it. So it's just the public that wants to know it.
Okay.
You know, go ahead.
Oh, no, carry on. My switchboard is lighting up and then going dark. Right, so.
Well, you know, maybe they like it and then they don't like it. I don't know. I mean, it's interesting because everybody has such a strong opinion about this either way. And that's the reason why it's so big in the media. Now, has the media made mistakes? Sure. You know, a lot of people have. But that's still not what drives the interest. The media has made a lot of mistakes over the years. But people keep coming back for more. So, you know, I don't know what else to say about that particular aspect of it. But we, you know, people say, they're terrible media, blah, 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 if it wasn't for them. But wait a minute. If it wasn't for us, wait, what about you? You know, you're the ones who sit there and tune in. You're the one that, you know, you pick up a newspaper to read the news, and the news is always going to be slanted whether you like it or not. So, some people will read the Wall Street Journal because it's a more conservative paper. Others will read the New York Times because it's a more liberal paper. So I don't know. I mean, is there somewhere where you can actually find something that is right down the middle that offers or proffers no opinion at all? I don't think so.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I mean, the National Enquirer.
There you go. Is that the same as some of the headline news programming? I mean, and I'm not trying to knock them, but I think that there is a sensationalism that people thrive on. People love. There's never a person that doesn't slow down to see and peer. I mean, they slow down because of the danger or you know, whatever. But at the same time, they twist their neck to go to look and see if somebody's lying on the road dead from that car accident. You slow down, you know, over. You know, they have to gawk. So there's always a human interest in something.
Okay, a question for Dave. You and I are not legal eagles, and unfortunately...
Or not what?
We're not legal eagles. Yeah, we're not lawyers.
No.
But did the prosecution screw up? I mean, it's not clear to me that from the outset, did they want to take this case on? And, I'm not sure they screwed up, but something went badly wrong. I mean,
I don't know. It's always that whichever side wins or loses, the loser always gets the brunt of it. They didn't do something right. Now, when the jury came back and asked for a description something on the manslaughter charge, at least it tells me they were considering it. And we don't know what it was that they wanted to know, because the attorneys agreed on to send back a statement that said, well, we don't know exactly what you're asking for. You have to be a little bit more specific in your questioning. So you were asking too broad of a question. So, okay, so one side wins, the other side loses. And it's like, what could we have done better? I don't think the state of Florida would have spent such an incredible amount of money had it not been for some cause that they actually believed in. In other words, I don't believe it was strictly civil rights based, because they're not going to sit there and say, oh, okay, Al Sharpton, okay, Jesse Jackson, okay, we're going to do this. All the people on the Trayvon Martin side wanted, now I don't care what Al Sharpton and et al. Are saying today, but the family of Trayvon Martin, all they wanted was an arrest and then see it go through the court system, whatever the outcome. And, I think they got their day in court. They didn't win it. But at the same time, you've got people from conservative websites, blogs, whatever, who supported George Zimmerman, yet they had real issues with Mark O'Mara. Like, Mark O'Mara was out to sabotage the defense. So in the end, Zimmerman was victorious. But was he really? I mean, he won the court battle. But my point being that had he been convicted, then Mark O'Mara would be in the same position that the state's in today. You know, he would still be the fall guy. If that, I think you understand what I'm saying.
Absolutely. Sam, same question to you. Do you think that the prosecution just screwed up because they really weren't engaged?
I think the prosecution was so bad that, from the beginning, that they really knew they didn't have a case. They tried, and they had to go to a motion. They hung their hat on it. But they were so bad, and I think there's a bunch of subplots that have come out. The IT state employee, who I thought was a whistleblower, was fired because of the way evidence was not given to the defense over the course of this during discovery when this took place. And I thought that was a very interesting situation where this gentleman was fired. I thought he was a whistleblower, but they didn't. That's how desperate they were for this case, the prosecutor. I thought the woman who headed for the state last night, when she was speaking, and she said, quote unquote, this is never about race or about guns, and it went right away into, but Zimmerman was profiling. Well, isn't profiling a racial thing? how can you say that this case was not about race, but George Zimmerman was a profiler?
But she did say criminal profile, and they made that clear, but at the same time, they did not disengage from the term racial profiling. They said profiling. They said that it's definitely criminal profiling, which is
they
said all along.
Do you live in Florida?
Yes.
Are there any African-American prosecutors in the state of Florida?
I'm sure there are. I mean,
why
I never...
Why didn't
they
bring one in for crying out loud to help out?
I don't know how that. I think they wanted to bring in their best guys and best people. I mean, it turned out to be those three.
Okay,
now,
a lawyer who I respect very much, whose name I'm not allowed to use, but did tell me something. This case was proof positive of something he learned at law school a long time. Prosecutors, prosec, lawyers who become prosecutors graduate last in the class, and lawyers who become great criminal defense lawyers and whatnot graduate at the top of their class. And,
like Jose Baez, you mean?
What?
Like Jose Baez.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but, I mean, that was it. But this was, I think the defense clearly was the better one. And I got to tell you something. O'Meara came across as the much more in control one. I love that Don West. I mean, this guy, that's the guy I want to be fighting for me. I mean, he was so, I mean, I thought he was going to come over that table and go after that judge for whatever reason. But regardless of right or wrong or whose side you're on, that's the type of passion or defense, to, or even if he was a prosecutor, you would want. They went for the juggler that, as given to them for their client. Whereas I thought the prosecutors, again, from what I thought, they just, the case was so weak, they were just grasping for straws, and I think that's what came out.
You know, it was a weak case, and they could have made it stronger. There were some things that they could have done that I thought about, you know, because I'm not alone in my thinking. There's a lot of people out there who did an awful lot of research on this case and saw things. I mean, you know, LLM Papa, who's made some incredible videos, for example, and you have some other bloggers who wrote a lot, like Frederick Leatherman. And these people really went in depth on this and that, you know, and in between the lines. And I saw virtually none of this put on display by the state. So, and even, I'm talking about some of the things that I found out on my own too. And so it was amazing to me that they did as little as they did. It was almost as if they didn't care to win. But the thing is, they did. They really did think they were doing everything right. They came down here. They only went home on weekends. I mean, this is for a long time these prosecutors were here. But as far as, like, having a black prosecutor, getting back to that, well, I can even say when you're talking about how the cream of the crop rises to the top, well, you have some who is the great L.A. prosecutor, you know?
Not Michael Clark.
No. But, you know, if you look at that one, for example— Now, there are some really great prosecutors, but some of them are very, very into their field of expertise. You have some cream-of-the-crop attorneys that never go into criminal defense. I mean, you're just looking at one aspect of law, and that happens to be criminal defense. Well, hang on, but if you want to get back to prosecution, yeah, but getting back to criminal the prosecution and black prosecutors, I mean, need I point out Christopher Darden, who really hurt the state more than anything, because he asked O.J. to try on that glove after hearing Johnny Cochran whisper, gee, I sure hope they don't ask O.J. to try that glove on.
O.J., I want to bring something up. I got to inject race, because race is about this case, and I think that's where the prosecutors made a big thing, and not making it a racial trial, but it really was a racial trial, so they should have done it. They all went to law school. They're all big shots in the government. They get paid big money and this and that, so they must be smarter than I am not to do that. But the Martin family can only take, so I guess they can take some gratitude in one thing. Millions of people didn't go into the streets cheered its verdict on, as that happened with the O.J. trial. And the poor Brown and Goldman family had to witness that when obviously, you know, the killer went free. And I guess that's about the only thing they can take, hang their hat on, is that they didn't have to go see millions of white people running through the street saying, you know, viva, you know, Zimmerman, viva Zimmerman. You know, that's how far we've come in race relations as a country, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, we have come far. And also, you have to understand that Trayvon's family said they didn't want any problems, no riots, no violence, no nothing. You know, they got their day in court, and that should be the end of it.
Hey, Dave, how much money did the Martin family get from the Homeowners Association? Do you know?
No, it was over $1 million.
When did they get that money? Do you know?
Well, the lawsuit was settled, I believe, in maybe February.
Of this year?
And I know the Homeowners Association rates went up, And, you know, the Homeowners Association rates went up, and the people who live there have no one to blame but who? You know, the Trayvon Martin family? I mean...
No, I'm not saying to blame anyone, but they got $1 million, and so that's why I wondered, because I know a lot of people last night who were appalled at this verdict, oh, I'll say now it's time for a civil case, but have the Martins out by accepting that over $1 million, what kind of civil case can you have? I mean, there's a family that's existing, already got $1 million.
Well,
over $1 million.
You've got a civil suit, let's say, against George Zimmerman for the loss of life.
Which
and,
they settled, right?
No, they settled with the Homeowners Association. They're going to go to court first. You know, O'Mara's going to fight for this, what he didn't go for in criminal, the stand your ground. You know, he's going to fight to keep, you know, George from being sued civilly. Whether he's going to win or not, see, civil is totally separate. A lot of people don't understand the big differences between civil and criminal. And I wish Peter was here to really explain that. But, you know, the difference between... beyond a reasonable doubt and a preponderance of guilt. I mean, it's like the difference if you're balancing the scales of justice on both sides. Let's say you've got criminal and civil side by side. You've got two separate scales. Okay, so on the criminal side, they're balanced out, and all you have to do is put a lead weight on one side. Kaboom! Down goes that scale. All the way down to the bottom on one side and all the way to the top on the other. That's the reasonable doubt. In a civil trial, it's a lot different. You've got that scale of justice that's balanced out evenly, and you drop a feather on one side and it changes the weight ever so slightly, it could go against that defendant. That's how much of a difference it is that people just don't understand. And a lot of people don't understand why, if you're found not guilty in criminal court, that you can civilly sue at all. And I'll try and explain as best I can, but, I mean, I'll use O.J. or Casey that, you know, look, I mean, with O.J., he clearly, I mean, he was found not guilty, but you know what, he was found guilty in civil.
Right.
But, you know, to explain it, I'm not going to go on unless Simon, you know, gives me that opportunity, because I don't think he wants me hogging up all this airtime, so, you know.
Oh, it's fine. Dave, you're entirely right that there are two different standards, you know, two different bars that you have to meet, you know, when you're talking criminal and civil. What concerns me is what's going to happen next. I noticed that the usual suspects, as I like to call them, are already griping. You know, Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. You know, the feds need to leap on this and... you know, start a civil rights case against Zimmerman. Do you think the Justice Department are going to, you know, jump on that bandwagon?
Are you asking me? Boy,
sure.
You know, and I mean this in you know, I have to be very delicate the way I discuss it, because it could be misconstrued. I mean, it could be looked at as something that I'm saying that could appear to be race when it's clearly not. But we had a president who said that Trayvon Martin could be his son. Okay. Have we ever heard a president discuss anyone else, you know, another president or whatever, over, you know, the death of someone could, you know, possibly be their son? And I think that opened up a lot of doors to this civil rights stuff. Now we've got an IRS that goes after Tea Party people. Well, I don't think these Tea Party, I'm not a Tea Party person by any means. But does the IRS have a right to go after some kind of a political party or subculture party or whatever you want to call it, because it goes against the philosophy of the president or whatever? I think that given these circumstances, there's a possibility that yeah, that something like this could happen. But I personally don't feel that it was a I don't believe that it was really a racially profiling, you know, incident. I mean, I really don't. It was something that he looked at. Now, yeah, there were problems with blacks in that neighborhood, according to Zimmerman. But, you know, it would be different if it was an all-white gated community. Okay, but it wasn't. And that's where I take issue with Zimmerman, because it was not an all-white exclusive community. And therefore, in my opinion, a black kid wearing a hoodie on a rainy night should not have set off any bells and whistles. And it did with him. And there was a guy by the name of Burgess who lived down on the south, by the south entrance, the direction that Trayvon went. Okay? And George should have said right then and there, if he thought it was that Burgess guy, because that Burgess guy had been arrested, and he was out on bail, and then he was back in jail at the time. But whether George knew it when he chased after Trayvon, I don't know. But the thing is, if he thought it was that kid, then that's kind of like you're criminally profiling a person who happens to be black. Can you really distinguish and prove that it was clearly racial profiling? I don't think so. But given the administration, I don't know.
Okay. Sam,
yep.
You run a bar.
Yep.
I'm sure that your customers come in all shapes and sizes. Do you racially profile your customers?
Of course not. You know, I only care about one color and one color only, green.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it, period.
And silver.
And silver too, but you don't see much silver now. Actually, though, I should say it should be a rainbow color, because the credit cards come in so many different colors now. You know, there's red ones, green ones, blue ones. I mean, everyone's got the sports team credit cards. You know, so I should just say I'm all like a Crayola. I believe in a Crayola crayon world. You know, of credit cards. But no, that's the only thing I'd say about your camp. It's ridiculous. You know, there's enough to worry about in the bar restaurant business, especially with blood alcohol level and all that sort of stuff, that, you know, we just want people to have a good time and enjoy. And my, you know, my business is, I'm in this day and age, I'm 65 white, 35% African American as a customer base. Whereas if someone would have told you that 30 years ago, or even 10 years ago in this community, that it wasn't the 95-5, you would have been shocked. So, you know, we have a good mix. A third of my employees are African-American. I'm very proud of them, and that's just the way it is, you know. And good employees, I don't care what color, race, color, creed, sexual orientation they are. Same thing with customers. Come in, have fun, enjoy yourself, and that's all we have asked for. And that. But as far as the racial profiling goes, for the big case that Dave was saying, I think the federal government is I mean, they already are looking into it, and it could just be lip service. I'll be shocked if they don't file something. Obama's not up for re-election. He's been, Dave, you're correct, he did say something. If Trayvon was my son, he'd look like that. And then he was eerily silent. And then he gave out a namby-pamby statement today about talking for gun control. You know, I was like, what? What did that have to do with, you know, I mean, Zimmerman's gun was legally bought and owned it. I mean, if he would have stood up against racism, if he would have said something about stand your ground law or something like this, after all, this guy is supposedly a constitutional lawyer. I was shocked that he talked about we got to stop looking at gun control again, and an issue that just he's obsessed with that's going nowhere. I thought that was interesting that he didn't really make a real strong statement as he did a year ago in this case when he put his signature on it. But I think the federal government, I think because of, Simon called them the usual suspects, they need to make money. They need to raise money. They got to get the agitators down there in Sanford and try to rev this up into a frenzy, as they are, as the talking heads are, why we speak on the phone, to make something happen. It didn't go their way, and they need to make it their way. And the one thing I'm seeing today, at least before the show started, is I saw a lot of African-American commentators. I don't know what they all were. Some were journalists, some were lawyers, some were activists. And they said they were outraged that, you know, that there's not this outpouring of more anger, and that the younger African Americans have become, what's the word I'm looking for, what they said.
Lethargic?
Yeah, just apathetic, maybe. They don't care.
Yeah.
And this has got to be the wake-up call. They need to make this the wake-up call to make to bring back the civil rights movement. And I'm thinking, oh, you got to be kidding me. You know, maybe these people are smart enough to realize, hey, this is our justice system, whether we like it or not. This is what happened. And go on, you know, look, move on to our lives, you know, and not make a big deal out of it. And maybe other people are making a big deal out of this, the racial thing, then shouldn't be. I thought, but they're really calling. They're really banging that drum. They want this thing to keep on going. And I think they'll have enough clout with the Department of Justice to go ahead and do that. Now, what comes out of that will be a whole other issue. But let me ask you another question, Dave, and I really wish Peter was here because he had the Goldman family at interest at his time. If they go a civil suit against, the state brings a civil suit against Zimmerman, would that be to try to get a $1 million lawsuit against him and they can attach his future earnings or something of that nature? Is that what that will be?
Yeah, he's got nothing now.
Right.
But, you know, I've had people ask me, how, you know, getting back to the civil part of it, you know, the difference between criminal and civil, well, how can you be found not guilty of a crime and then be sued in civil court? And, you know, I can use some of the lawsuits against Casey and, you know, as an example, but that's not really an explanation. I mean, it says there it is, but it's not really explaining the why. As much as I can put it this way, if I had a neighbor I had fights with all the time, and then one night he was walking down the street, and he walked in front of my house, but clearly he was still on the street, and I pulled out my gun and I shot him. And I dragged him into my yard, dragged him back out to the street where he died, so you've got a trail of blood that just shows from my driveway out to the street. And I can convince a jury that the guy walked up on my property. I warned him to leave. He started walking at me, and I pulled the Castle Doctrine on him, shot him dead, you know. Now, I convinced the jury that that's the truth. I'm found not guilty. Am I really not guilty? And then does the wife have a right to sue and say in civil court that, look, that's not the way it happened. My husband was walking to the store. He was not out looking for any trouble. He didn't go out armed. He and this neighbor have been having a fight for a long time, and he told me before he left he was going to try and walk out of his way so the guy wouldn't see him. I mean, then now that we got a civil suit going on, and this jury is convinced that I did something wrong. That's the difference between criminal and civil, and an easy, I think, way to explain it. It's just that balance that separates the two. I hope that kind of explains a little bit.
Yeah. Simon, do you think that, I mean, David, will the state pursue civil, and then what will they?
No, the state has nothing to do with it. It's like this. No. Civil is strictly like the Martin family. Just because the Martin family sued the Homeowners Association, it's got nothing to do with suing George Zimmerman.
So they're going to go after. So that's the next.
Well,
case
they are, but you've also got. You know that the defense is going to go for immunity. You know, like the stand your ground. If filing a stand your ground motion, that he should be not. In other words, there should be no George should have immunity from civil suits. But so all along, you know, people had this misconception that with the with all those young photographs of Trayvon, I think we touched on this last week, that was the family of Trayvon Martin that released those photographs. That's not the state of Florida. The state of Florida released nothing but evidence and discovery to the state, to the defense. Then the defense chose to release whatever it wanted, you know, like the bloody photos of Zimmerman or whatever, so of their client. But any of the stuff that you saw from Trayvon's side came from the family or from the defense. The state the state gave out no information whatsoever on their own. And so in other words,
well, they withheld information, according to the one gentleman who was fired.
Well, that was because he testified in court on, you know, during the trial.
Well, I mean, he said they withheld information from the defense. I mean,
well,
that's
a whole different. We can get into that, but that's not the same as what
state,
I'm talking about
the state,
here.
The state had its own agenda, shall we say?
Sure, it did. And then the judge said that, look, we're not going to address it here. We're going to take this up after the trial is over. And that was a question I wanted to ask. You know, I was going to get the microphone from next to ask Mark O'Mara this question. And then my friend Lisa from NBC Network sat next to me, and she asked that question. You know, so when the girl went to hand me the microphone, I said, no, she just asked that question. So it was regarding whether the state would go after whether the defense would now continue to go after the state since they won the trial. So, yeah, they are going to go after the state.
They are, but malicious prosecution or just exactly hiding information or not?
Well, it was stuff that apparently the state had and then neglected to give the defense. And then the prosecution said, well, it was inadvertent. We didn't mean to do that. And, you know, this would impact, you know, this is something the state has to do. I don't care how biased a person is for Trayvon or for George. You know, when the state has discovery information, it's got to turn it over to the defense.
Right.
That's the law, you know, regardless of which side anyone in the public is sitting on. So, and then
they
the
made
state
a, yeah, they made a mistake. I guess, you know, one of the things in regards to the civil case is going to be, are the Martins going to be willing to part with some of their money to hire a lawyer? And B, what would...
No, I don't think they're going to have to worry about that. You know, it's not a thing. You got to remember that part, you know, this is partition. Now, this money didn't just go to the Martin family. They had to pay their attorneys. They have to pay probably public relations firms that handle them. I mean, this is a big, it's not, I don't want to say it's a big business because, but
it
anybody,
is a big business. That's the right word.
Well, what I'm saying is it's not a big business in the sense that their son died and now they're out to make money. I mean, they donated a lot of that money, you know, to a foundation, the Trayvon Martin Foundation. These
which
people
I'm sure
are not,
they're the beneficiary.
Oh,
of.
Lord.
It is a big business.
Is this shades of the various, you know, Kaylee Anthony Foundation?
No. Listen, let me tell you. I know the you know, Sabrina Fulton and Tracy Martin, and they're nothing like George and Cindy Anthony. I mean, that's like the difference. I'm sorry to say it, but it's like the difference between black and white. And, you know, and I didn't mean that as a pun, but I mean it really, truly is. Where you've got trash, these are nice people, the parents of Trayvon Martin. They really, really are. And, you know, they're not out to get rich off their dead son. And their concern is that hopefully some people in the country will wake up to this, what happens to African-American kids, you know, particularly the boys, like what happened to their son, that, you know, black parents teach their young male children. I mean, I found this out from the black, you know, community that they teach their sons growing up. You know, you got to be careful when you go out there because there are people out there to kill you. And, you know, obviously what happened to Trayvon Martin, I mean, when you look at it from face value alone, the kid walked to a store, bought a bag of candy and something to drink, and was on his way back minding his own business when some guy followed him. Now, had George Zimmerman left for the store 2 minutes earlier, this never would have happened. Trayvon would still be alive. So whatever we want to talk about self-defense and that George Zimmerman, that's what the law was all about, that moment, basically, when George had to fight for his life. And I can go on for hours on that topic and why George Zimmerman was probably right in that, okay? So I'm not arguing about that because the law is the law. But I'm still going to sit there and tell you all along that had George minded his own business that night, Trayvon would still be alive.
Right.
Simon,
but
I had a you brought up about what the bar talk was. I had a very interesting comment last night by an African American. He said, "This is why you will see more black on black crime in the city. It was because of not vigilante style. We can't trust the white system to get us justice. Therefore, if one of our brothers or sisters is shot or murdered, don't expect us to rely on the police, the prosecutor, and the system to help bring us justice, bring our murder."
That's right.
You're going to see more and more vigilante style black on black, assassinations. And I understand that. I mean, to me, I was like, wow, that was a really profound statement. And I applauded him for that because I never thought about that, and I'm glad I could share that. And it makes total sense. It really does. And I think we're going to see more. We'll never know about it. I mean, how many murders were in Chicago last week? 9. I know another 7 more. That happens way too much in this country for many, many reasons. But did you ever think of the people getting shot because of retaliation killings? Because the system is not geared for justice, and a lot of people see that.
I'm in total agreement with you. Unfortunately, our justice system is imperfect, but it still tends to work eventually. I'm sure that there are people, after watching and reading about the Zimmerman trial, are headed to the gun store. I need me a gun. Personally, I'm in complete disagreement. I think if guns were gone, a lot of these problems would be gone.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I think one thing that would be a great thing I'd like to see happen, but it can't in today's world. I wish all these celebrities would just shut up and stop tweeting and stop. I mean, they're another one throwing gas on the fire. As soon as this went on, and then, of course, the media goes to them. This goes to what you said, David. It's all about driving the ratings. Hey, we got Beyonce and Jay-Z. This is what they have to say. Stay with us to the commercials.
Beyonce, in particular, has been very silent all along.
I just threw her name out, Sean Penn, George.
Sean Penn. I mean, yeah.
I mean,
no.
Just shut up.
Folks, I have to go out to the phone lines. I recognize the number. Unless I'm very much mistaken, it's my good friend T.J. Hart. TJ, thank you.
There he is.
How you doing, guys?
Good, how are you?
Hanging in there.
Hey, how's life in Des Moines?
Relatively stable compared to my former state of Florida.
Right. I sent an email or a message out to TJ earlier today, inviting him to join us on the program because he knows quite a bit about the Zimmerman trial and the Casey Anthony trial. And although I don't think he's been actively following it, I know that it's been a subject of discussion on his radio program. TJ, what were your thoughts last night with the Zimmerman verdict?
Well, I expected it to be not guilty just because the prosecution really missed a few opportunities to do their job and to successfully prosecute Mr. Zimmerman. However, I do sincerely believe that there's going to be a civil lawsuit, and that could probably work against Mr. Zimmerman. And the thing is that the whole ordeal, as ugly and as tragic as it is, and I can speak from a little bit of experience. A year ago, I buried my own son, and it's horrible when there's a life lost, and it's even more horrible when things could have been prevented. Two people on that night back in February both made some of the poorest decisions of their lives, both of them. Both of them were right, both of them were wrong. And as it turned out, one lost their life, and another person's life has been changed forever. There are no winners here. There are absolutely no winners. I saw people on the Facebook and the Twitter and the social media and people who had called into radio shows last night after the verdict was held, and it was almost like they were either cheering or crying foul, and there was nothing to cheer about, absolutely nothing to cheer about. And it was just a horrible situation all the way around. And when the dust finally clears, maybe everybody will find some peace. But I think the Martin family will probably not find any peace, regardless of whatever happens in a civil trial with the wrongful death lawsuit, should they pursue that. But they might find some closure.
What kind of feedback are you getting from your listeners, and for our listeners? TJ runs a 3-hour marathon morning program.
Hours. 4 hours. 4 hours from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Oh man, terrestrial radio. But. You must be getting some feedback about this case.
Yes, and as many times as folks say that it's not racial, the FBI said it's not racial, depending on who you talk to, it's highly racial. And it's heartbreaking because I don't think that, I don't know, I wasn't there. I can't tell you. And I don't think any of us were there that night, and I don't think any of us could tell you. But many of my listeners from African American descent really seemed to believe it was all racial, and that it was all about a guy basically hunting down Trayvon Martin like an outdoorsman would track a deer. And then you have other folks who, are trying to look at it analytically, and they pretty much came up with the same conclusion I have. And then there's that third bunch who goes, yeah, George, and almost like cheering for George, and it's, what? So what I'm getting is a lot of mixed emotions, a lot of people who have their own issues. You have your Second Amendment right people who are split amongst themselves on this issue, what happened. You have a lot of people of faith who are somewhat divided on this, but it clearly comes down on racial lines, and it shouldn't.
Dave, I'll hand the microphone to you.
You mean regarding whether I believe it's predominantly a racial issue?
Any comments that you might have for my good friend TJ?
Well, I mean, I was there at the trial. I followed this case here since the beginning. I've been to every hearing, and I know that it was interesting to see the last few days the entire world basically converge on this courthouse, and then of course came some of the demonstrators. But the demonstrations were peaceful, and there were hardly any people out there. So it was it was really a minimum amount and there were people in favor of George. I mean, and the funny thing is, it's like Pavlov's dogs, or not like that, like Pavlov's dogs. I'm sorry, It's like, you know, if a toddler is crawling around on a chair and falls out of the chair, it looks around. If there's nobody in the room, it shrugs it off. The baby shrugs it off and crawls around and has more fun. But if mom or somebody else is in that room, the child falls, the child looks and immediately starts crying. So it was the same thing with this scattered few that were there. When we had clouds, it was raining, the cameras went away, and these people shut up. As soon as the cameras came around, they started shouting and holding their signs and everything because they wanted their 15 minutes of fame. But I don't believe, I mean, first of all, the Martin family, Trayvon's family, said, we don't want any violence. We don't want anything. If you want to do peaceful demonstrations, that's one thing. But we don't want this to be become a racial issue that really divides the nation. So I don't know. I mean, I guess when you have an audience like your show, you're going to get the gamut. But at the same time, you're looking at it from your point of view, from your audience, and I'm looking at it from inside the courtroom and what people that are actually involved in it, including Benjamin Crump, who I'm close enough with, I could pick up the phone right now and call him. And the same thing with Natalie Jackson. And what they, and even hugging Trayvon's parents and stuff. And their message is clearly not one that really looks for any kind of a divide.
I do remember Trayvon's parents making those comments over and over and over again. And I appreciate that. Your perspective, as unique as it was, to actually be there. A bit envious of you.
Well, I'll tell you, it is. I'm sure you've done this before. So there is an electricity to it, and it builds up like a bell curve or something. You know, it starts off with those hearings and works its way up crescendo or something to a climax, then all of a sudden it abruptly drops into a bottomless pit, and it's over and done with. You know, so you feel so much compassion going into it, and then the compassion turns more to what you really have to focus on, which is objectivity, and that's the way I handled this case once it went to trial, And also, I got more information out of both sides that way, incidentally. So, but I really felt that way going into it, that I had to be in the middle of the road. And I tried to remain that way.
Sam, you've been very quiet, which is unusual for you.
You guys are making a lot of sense, and it's very interesting. Sometimes, Simon, as you've taught me, it's good to shut my mouth and open my ears a little. And I'm doing that and enjoying what both these two gentlemen are saying and adding to the conversation.
Especially when you're...
like Dave, we talked just before the TJ called in. I think the real thing that's going to come out of this is... I have a gut feeling based upon... I'm going to go over what you said about the Martin family. I don't think they're going to file anything. I think they're going to let the civil rights... be filed probably by the Department of Justice and in the Obama administration and see how that plays out. Maybe eventually they will, but I think that's the next thing that's going to happen to Zimmerman is the violation of the federal civil rights, of Trayvon's federal civil rights. That's just my gut feeling based on what I've seen. And the Martin family is going to hold back right now, and I think they should. I think they're doing the right thing. I think I applaud you for bringing up some stuff about them being classy people and whatnot and doing all that stuff. Good for them. I think the second thing that's going to come out of this is what we were talking about, is this frenzy of some of the agitators and race baiters and just people have nothing better to do in their time are going to see this as a way to push racism and profiling and all that to the forefront to get to try to energize a new base of young African Americans and maybe others, that you better get involved in this and jump on board with us because there's a Trayvon Martin in every community, black community. And I think that's what you're going to see. And that's what I have been seeing and hearing after all the dust settled with the verdict and the talking head lawyers talking, et cetera, and all the so-called experts, is that all these other people really are banging this drum as a new wake-up call for the civil rights movement. I mean, I haven't heard somebody say that Trayvon Martin is the 21st century version of Medgar Evans.
Yeah, that was what Benjamin Crump or Daryl Parks did say that last night.
Yeah, I mean that was kind of the Rosa Parks and all that, and obviously they have that's their agenda. And I think you bring up a good point. You know there's a lot of people here, not the Martin family, not the Zimmerman family. They're suffering and dealing with what they have to do. But in today's world, there's so many people and institutions with this agenda that they take advantage of this tragedy and are turning it into something that could be tragic for a lot more people. And
well, Sam, there's some
time,
and if I could just say something real quick, or just to say something to clarify, I think the family of Trayvon Martin, classy as they are, the Goldman family, they were classy, that Brown family.
Right.
But, I think when you come back to this, the bottom line is not where some people are going to say this. I absolutely going to guarantee people are going to disagree with me on this. But I'm telling you right now, it's not about the money, although it is about the money. It's not about the money that the Martin family can make off their dead son. It's about the money that George Zimmerman can't make off their dead son.
I don't think
they
want to
make sure that money does not go into his pocket.
Do you think George Zimmerman's going to write a book, Why I Did It? I mean, it's never going to publish.
Well, no. It's not going to be about why he did it. He admitted doing it.
But
he's going to write a book about why it had to come down to that.
I don't see Zimmerman. I'd be shocked. Now, maybe it's always about the money. When all this is said.
Well, wait a minute. Suppose somebody makes a TV movie for Lifetime Channel, okay, and he signs his name to it. You think he's going to do it for free or donate the money to
I don't think he's going to do it because of fear of his life. My own opinion. He's going to disappear into the walls. Because if he stays, he's already got a target on his back. I think we all agree with that, by that fringe element that's out there. Somebody would love to shoot. There's somebody in that bad end of the community, of the African-American thing, who'd love to make a name for themselves, blowing George Zimmerman away.
Well, a lot of people don't like George and Sidney Anthony, but I'm telling you, they're probably going to kill each other before anybody in the public does.
But I mean, we know that there is someone who would love to make a name for herself, or somebody make a name for themselves. And
It's rarely that I get to talk to my good
Peter.
Buddy,
I mean, TJ.
TJ.
Yeah. TJ. Yeah.
TJ, were you aware that the Martin family got $1 million settlement from the Homeowners Association?
No, I was not aware of that.
All right. Now, sure, that they're, obviously they had to pay some costs, lawyers, things like that. Why would they go back and ask for more?
That's a real good question. I don't have the answer to that, to be quite honest with you.
Oh, TJ, you're my point man.
I told you it's because they don't want the Zimmerman family to make money off it.
Yeah. You've got a terrible situation. If you're that homeowners association, I'm just going to go out there on a limb and say money can make things at least a little less painful and, don't pay the target on us. But that's just a guess.
I
don't know the background on the settlement, and I would feel foolish to do anything more than this.
Well, I can tell you, TJ, that the association has guidelines that you can't discharge a firearm inside of that gated community,
mm-hmm.
and a firearm was discharged. Okay,
obviously,
so it goes against the rule. Yeah, and that's part of the reason that that's one of the basis of the lawsuit. So
I bet you that never made it to discovery. They went right to negotiation.
That has nothing to do with it. That's not a criminal action. That's a civil action. And once again, that's the separation between the two.
Yeah. I'm sure that the insurance company's lawyers couldn't. There wasn't much. They weren't right to negotiations for that one. Rightfully so.
Yeah, but that wasn't brought up during the criminal trial either. Anything about the homeowners association's lawsuit.
Dave, one last thing. One would be more thing. Who's the lawyer representing the Martin family? Is it Crump, or who's kind of more abrasive and aggressive, and I think more of a fire eater, or is it the other gentleman who's a lot more laid back?
Well, there's Daryl Parks and Benjamin Crump are both the two head honchos of a I think they're Tallahassee based, a law firm. They specialize in civil rights.
So they are partners?
Parks and Crump. Yeah.
Okay, they are partners.
LLC.
One of them
is
a real fire
eater. Well, they're both pretty much, I don't see a lot of fire in either one of them. Natalie Jackson is also one of the family attorneys, and she's based here in Orlando. And she's a criminal defense attorney. And I'll tell you, there's some things that, as a criminal defense attorney, she was more of a Zimmerman supporter at first. Okay? But, I mean, that's not like saying that she was aware of all the details, because she's a Navy veteran. And she's a military person, and Second Amendment rights and gun ownership all the way. So her initial reaction had nothing to do with race. And that's why I'm saying there's more to this case than what people on the outside are saying. Unless you've actually talked to these people, I mean, it's easy to throw out any conjecture you want. But, you know, I'm on a really good I can talk to these people. I'm not trying to brag, don't get me wrong. I'm just trying to set the record straight on what I know.
But I got to tell you, the one lawyer for the Martin family is definitely a race baiter. The one that was out in the beginning. The one who's out now is much more calm, cool, collective, and it talks about law and calmness. The one talking now, looks like he plays football. He's got big shoulders.
Daryl Parks. Yeah, that's who I thought you meant.
The other one belongs with the Jesse Jacksons and the...
He's not quite as fiery as Jesse Jackson. Trust me on that.
But
they are civil rights attorneys.
Yeah, that's okay, you know, but they have a right to do what they want to do and to look out for the client's best interest. I understand that. I understand the point of view from the hound and the fox, you know, both of them. But the one thing I thought was interesting, I don't know if any of you saw it, is that the Zimmerman's defense team had an African-American intern, and she's catching a lot of grief on social networks.
Oh, I'll tell you one thing. She's really hot. I got to tell you, that's one hot babe. And she's always been nice to me. She was a nice person to me from the very start. And I mean to tell you, there were times I just wanted to go up to her and hug her to death, you know. But that's off the record, of course. I didn't say that live on air, okay?
Are you married?
Oh, no, no. Absolutely, no.
No, they're really nice people. I mean, I said to the blonde attorney, too, who sits at the desk next to George, I said to her one time, I said, you know, I noticed that you drink more water than the state. You know, it's like, I don't know, you go through gallons and gallons of water a day, and the state goes through, like, maybe a couple of bottles, you know? Does that mean anything? You know?
Has she got it, besides the fact that you think she's very good looking, I don't know what she looks like, but I'll take your word for it.
The comments
I've seen about her, you know, the usual Uncle Tom, all those things that are being called, and, how dare she, et cetera, et cetera. That's sad, too. You know,
I think Christopher Darden could have gotten that kind of flack back then, you know, with OJ.
Probably
being black. And I think that's kind of like water, you know, over the dam or something. It settles, and that's the least of the problems. I mean, there are people that hate Mark O'Mara because of who it represented. I think that'll stay longer than, an African-American female who happened to be a legal assistant, you know, for the Zimmerman defense. Let's say she works for him. And this is not the only client he has.
Sure, I understand. Question for you. Does Wes practice a lot in front of Nelson or just Michael Mayer?
No, neither one, really. I mean, they're Orlando-based, so they do most of their work. That's not to say they do all. I'm sure they're familiar with Judge Nelson. They practice in front of her. But they're predominantly, like I would say, Orlando, Orange County. This is Seminole County.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be sharing Christmas cards with each other.
No, I mean, I don't think Don West and Deborah Nelson are ever going to dance.
No, I don't think so either.
TJ, so you caught that sound bite. You know, you can use it tomorrow.
You got it.
Right.
Fair use practice with Greta and Simon Barrett and Blog Talk Radio.
The defense, you know, drank more water than the prosecution.
That is a pretty funny one. And she's hot. Remember that, TJ, she's hot.
Yeah, well, you know, there are a lot of little things that I'm going to write about from a human nature aspect it's going to go into my last article that I want to write about this case. I mean, it's really writing about things that go on in the world of courtroom drama. And, you know, because I said all along when I wrote anything, I really did minute-by-minute play on my Facebook page and almost virtually abandoned my blog during this time. But you know, you can read that play-by-play in the newspaper or whatever, but there's... I mean, I want to go inside the courtroom and tell people exactly what it's like to be inside something like that, you know, because it is a whole different world there.
You know, I've served on two different juries in two different states, and you're absolutely right. What is reported on, and now I've also been a reporter. I mean, I reported on the Wesley Snipes tax fraud thing when that was going on, and, you know, several, you know, other local things as well. But the perspective is quite different when you're a juror or when you're someone who's in the courtroom each and every day as opposed to someone who's just recapping it and getting some sound bites, whether it be from television or radio or on the Internet.
Right. And there's another thing, TJ, that you might be interested in, going back to what people can tell you or whatever. One of the journalists, who I will not mention by name, reported on a cable network news station, which I will not report by name, but an anchor, very famous news personality, who I will not mention by name, came up to me. We started talking, and he said he heard that there were two jurors who were crying and one who had tears in her eyes. And he wanted to know if that was true. And I said, no, it's absolutely not true. And then later on in the day, I spoke to another reporter who brought it up to me, a local reporter. And he said, did you hear it? And I said, yeah. As a matter of fact, so-and-so asked me about it. And I said, there wasn't anything like that. He said, no, absolutely not. You know, and he was the one who gave me the name of the person who reported it. So, but, you know, that's the kind of stuff that goes on for drama.
I used to work for the Hysterical Ladies Network. I mean, I know.
Yeah, and that's what it is, isn't it? But that wasn't, it wasn't one of those. I mean, although I did have a really nice chat with Jane Velez Mitchell, and she's really, in person, a delightful.
She's really a nice woman. She's very well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very well.
So, but it was somebody else, and it was a male anchor from a news station. But, you know, it was interesting. Some of the anchors I talked, or some of the people, like, you know, Ted Williams from Fox, he told me that we would get the, he was right on the money. He was the only one that called it that way. I mean, I kept saying that the jury is not going to come up with a verdict right away. And everybody else said no, that we all hung around, you know, Friday. And I went home, but I did come back, but that's another story. I didn't turn right around and went home when the jury was dismissed for the day. But Ted Williams has said on Friday that it would be in a sequence where and he said this early. He said that the defense would do their closing argument, then the state would do it. I thought we'd break for lunch. The state would do it. And then we'd break for lunch, and then the jury would be given the instructions.
And he was absolutely right. That was a guess on his part, but the judge did field the jury and say, do you want a break for lunch or do you want for me to read the jury instructions first? And they wanted a break for lunch. They were hungry. So he did it right. But there's so many people in there that, I mean, you know, TJ, that's a whole different world in there.
Oh, it is.
Got any good green room stories?
I hope you're asking TJ.
Yes, I am.
Oh, good.
Dreamland.
My lips are sealed for now.
I'm good.
No, TJ was, TJ and I were involved in a case. We won't mention any names, but what did you call the network?
I'm repeating what somebody had said actually on their sister station, CNN. That person referred to it as the Hysterical Ladies Network.
Right.
That's funny.
I remember an interesting phone call from the green room, as the Hysterical Ladies were doing their thing.
I'll tell you about it, right? The thing was is that at that point in time, the producers were absolutely livid that something went out of sequence that they couldn't control for the drama or the storyline of the show. And what had happened was is that I was in Jacksonville, Florida, and I was to go on TV with Teresa Neves. This was during the Haley Cummings disappearance and abduction, and Misty Crosland had arrived in the same car as Miss Neves, and I'm sitting out there in the green room talking to her for about 15-20 minutes. Heard you've been missing. Looking good. What you been up to? Really? Oh, yeah. Going to church? Okay, good. That's interesting, and all this. And we get on the TV, and I'm talking into the microphone. I said, she's here. And they said, who? And this is off air. I said, well, Misty Crosland. We said, for the love of God, don't say anything about that because all of the graphics say that she's still missing. That's what the producer told me, flat out in my earpiece. And toward the end of the show, I just said, well, I don't know about her missing. I just spoke to her about 20 minutes ago, and that was it. My microphone got yanked.
Isn't that weird?
And then I waited until the limousine dropped me off at home before I called the producer and told her I quit. Don't call me anymore.
Oh, that was a classic encounter. But, it brings up an interesting aspect. Cable news is great, but it has its own agenda. CNN, HLN, Fox, MSNBC. I mean, have they lost a grip on the idea of reporting the news? What's your thoughts, TJ?
Everybody's going for a segment of the pie. Everybody's going for what they feel is their best chance at getting the audience. CNN has gone from straightforward news to liberal, back to try to being straightforward. And as they were trying to get some momentum, Anderson Cooper had a couple of faux pas in his reporting, and CNN dropped the ball on a couple, and I think it really set them back. MSNBC has decided to go left, and Fox has always gone to the right, and HLN does the more dramatic stories. And as far as the eye on the ball, I got to tell you, there are some problems with opinions getting in the way of the facts. in order to appeal to the segment of the audience that they're going toward. Old-fashioned journalism, it's alive, but it's hard to find. I mean, sometimes you'll find it on your local TV station, you find it on your local radio station, maybe in your local paper. And but when you get to the networks, it's all about how many ears or eyes can I get on that TV set or that radio. And that's what it's all about. It's all about audience. It's all about ratings. And you'll see that a lot of this stuff where the racial component came into play, much of that was contrived and ginned up to simply get numbers, to get people to watch, because everybody will watch a train wreck, no matter how horrible it is, they will watch a train wreck. And well, I think we witnessed
it. Bingo.
Actually, TJ, I kind of disagree with one of your comments. I think you got the words in the wrong order. I think what you meant to say is facts get in the way of opinions.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I think I lived through that. I think that story I told you. Thanks for the correction. Appreciate it.
Okay, we're on the wind down mode here. Dave, what have we missed? What more should listeners know about the Zimmerman case?
Boy, that could be taken I could go on and, different aspects of this. But, I mean, I think the most important thing is the take from it that the system worked. The system absolutely worked. And the state did not prove its case. I mean, as much as I've talked to the Martin side, the state side, I mean, the family side, I mean, that there is something that the state missed. And there were things, like I said earlier, that many people out in the world of Trayvon supporters, blogging, whatever, that they brought up that the state never brought into the case. And, I mean, there are things that I said, boy, why didn't they bring this up or that up? And of course, it wasn't all my own ideas. It was a culmination of what everybody had to say. And it would have been the same thing, had it been on the defense side too. But the defense, I knew once Selmayr was going to come into this trial. I mean, one of the things that people don't understand is when you go into hearings and stuff, you throw everything at the wall: spaghetti, meatballs, meat sauce, whatever you got, chicken cacciatore. And then you wait and see what sticks. In the meantime, people have this misconception that, boy, This defense attorney is doing a lousy job. I saw the same thing with the Casey Anthony case, and of course everybody knows what the outcome was there. So and Baez and Mason lost just about everything they proposed. And then in the meantime, I knew what kind of a guy Marco Mara was, and sure enough, he came out and he was very eloquent. And he didn't have. He was on cruise control when the state rested. After the state rested, he was on cruise control. So the most important thing to me is that it's not just a racial thing. It was the justice system at work, and it was successful.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Sam, your mm-hmm. parting thoughts for us.
Well, I want to thank. It's been a really good show. I think Dave, you were there, so it's sad that better than watching people on television comment on it, I want to tell you that. I learned more from you in an hour and a half than I did for 2 weeks listening to all these so-called experts who are outside the courtroom and whatnot. So thank you. And TJ, you had some great points, too, and all that. And thank you for all and all that. I think it's always been about race, I don't know why the prosecutors didn't do that. I think they did. I think there was some malicious prosecution involved. That's going to come out. I think we haven't seen the end of this. I think the race baiters are going to get out there and beat that drum, as I said earlier. I want to say one thing. I think it shows, and I agree with Dave, that the system does work. The justice system works in regard to beyond a reasonable doubt. And that's a good thing. That's what it's there for. whether we like the verdict or not, we like many verdicts or not. One thing, like I told you, one of my patrons said, I want to say that again, that I think this is going to reinforce the fact that most people in the inner cities are going to say the white system doesn't work, and they'll take justice in their own hand instead of letting the prosecutor, the police department, and whatnot follow through with. I mean, how many unsolved murders are there? In my community alone, there's like 70 of them over the last 10 years of people have been gunned down and there's been nothing done to find the killers. So I don't blame the people in the inner city taking becoming vigilantes because the system doesn't work for them. I think the federal government will get involved in this, and there'll be all sorts of politics out there because there are institutions and individuals who feed off this. They have the media needs to feed off it, as you guys have so eloquently spoken. They have agendas. It's about ratings. They got to make money. It's too bad, you know. And all those things become more and more important than the actual case itself and the people that it's affected. And I guess we can now take a deep. Take a deep breath and wait for the next great trial to come on TV, which will be the Castro trial in Cleveland, I believe. Or is it the Hernandez trial in Boston? Or I don't know what the next one is. Or Simon says, who cares? Spitzer and Wiener are both on the ballot in the fall. I can't wait for that one.
It's TJ.
I don't know. When you say Wiener and Spitzer in the same breath, it's terrible.
It's been a while since we've talked. Please do come back more often. And what are your parting thoughts for us today?
Well, it's not over by a long shot. The circus had just basically come into town. As far as the media circus and the political circus, it's going to continue. But if you want to see some problems get solved, how come seven African-American youths can get killed in Chicago on any given weekend? Not a God-blessed thing is said about it, because that person may have been shot by a fellow African-American. Way too many people are getting killed in a city very close to where I live, which is, Chicago. Des Moines is just 6 hours away. And you see people being gunned down like it's back in the roaring 20s. And it's like, oh, well, that's sad. Oh, well, that's too bad. If Mr. Jackson, Mr. Sharpton would put half the energy behind that to try to find some kind of peace and resolution in the city of Chicago, their works will have been well done. And I really do hope that we learn something from this. One is that every decision you make might be your last. Make good choices. The two gentlemen that happened back in February of last year, neither one of them made good choices, and a horrible thing happened. Always make good choices. And like I said, folks, try not to let the emotions sweep you away. Look at this with an analytical mind if you possibly can. And let's try to find just ways to make justice in our communities. Being vigilante ain't going to do it.
I absolutely agree with you. And on that note, I do have to wrap this episode up. I want to thank all of you for taking time out to talk to me today. And we'll be back again next Sunday. Who knows what we'll be talking about? I might get a parking ticket.
Yeah.
Touché. Good way to end the show.
I know some good attorneys for you, Simon.
Well,
can somebody help me? I just got nailed with one of those red light cameras.
Well, here's the problem, though. I don't actually have a car, so
a good attorney. If you get a traffic ticket, I know a good attorney for you.
All righty.
No car.
All right. Okay.
All right, well, thank you, Simon. Thank you, everyone.
Okay, talk to you all later. Bye.
Okay, bye.